It is time now for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics. He brings well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. But let's see if he speaks Russian. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
I only dance in Russian.
That's right. You don't deal in the rubles.
No. Not the rubles. No.
All right.
So anyhow, do you remember that story, the headless horseman?
Yes.
Well, anyhow, we have a leaderless horse in our government. I think they call him the president, but he has left the stage. He no longer cares about the pandemic, and he's given it over to his fellow assistant lawyer, Mr. Pansy Pence. Now, Pansy was down in Dallas, I guess a couple of days ago, and at some event, you know, about 2,300 people packed in a church, very few masks, and they had a choir of 100 people of all ages, no masks, obviously, singing their hearts out. So we'll see what happens there. Short way around, we told you to sell stocks last week. I continue to say sell stocks because I hate to say this, the pandemic appears to be getting worse. And based on the lack of leadership at the national level, it'll get even far worse. The point is, you're not selling for cheap. You're selling in between the 18,000 and 29,000 levels on the Dow. But better safe than sorry, and better secure and loving life. I put some of that money in gold. And I'd hope for the best, and probably the best that can happen is that the president and the vice president are impeached. It takes some time, but just getting it out there might help, and then get removed from office. They are totally inept in dealing with this national crisis, which only grows as we speak. They poisoned the well by conning a lot of people who wanted to be conned in the country that this thing was going to end sooner than later. And this is just adding to the overall distemper in the country, where we have people without masks yelling at people with masks. I mean, it's really insane. But that's where the leadership at the top did a great job in convincing people who didn't think about it that this thing would get better sooner than later. So I know it's difficult. It's difficult for all of us. We're locked up, whatever we're doing in terms of trying to keep ourselves safe, but you have to persevere until the end, and there will be an end to this. Keep saying it, keep singing it, keep writing it.
You know, Jim, to me it seems, I'm not going to make this all Trump but I'm going to mention this about Donald Trump. He ran for the wrong office. The man ran for an office to get national attention and to get a bigger and better job. Well, that can't be the reason you run for office. He does not handle situations. He doesn't look at the briefings that are given to him. He admits that. He doesn't like to read. He should have run for United States Senator. He really should have. Because you can be a United States Senator, you can basically just go along with the pack and do what you want to do and say what you want to say, and it doesn't affect the country as a whole, and yet you still get status as a United States Senator, which is not being president, but it's also, it doesn't show your weaknesses as much as being president. I mean, you take a look back at our presidents from Donald Trump to Barack Obama. Barack Obama, many people might not have liked his policies, but he had a calm and good demeanor in office. He could communicate with people, and he didn't lose touch through stressful times. You even go back and look at George Bush. As much as you might have liked him or not liked him and liked his policies, he did not lose it during one of the most roughest times this country has faced in a long time, which was 9/11. Bill Clinton, you look at his presidency, and there were plenty of things that went on when Bill Clinton was president, worldwide things that he was involved in, where he once again did not lose sight of the office. despite everything else that was going on. You look at Bush number one. Well, he had one term, but you look at the way he handled the crisis which he faced, and he handled it, and this country felt good and safe about it. I mean, you can go back and you can say Republicans or Democrats until maybe you get to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was a little over my, he was just too nice of a man to be president. So that's where his big failure came in. But basically, you look at everybody else, and they took the office, the mantle of the office, and they took the weight of responsibility. And every one of the ones that I mentioned, while they were in office, and a crisis came up, the country continued to operate and continued to go up and down. But there was faith in the country, not only by people in the country, but from our allies and friends. Take a look at this presidency, and you'll see it's totally different from any other presidency that has existed in the past 35, 40 years.
Well, you're absolutely right on past presidents basically standing up and taking hold of their office, which was to lead the country in good and bad. And the gentleman you mentioned all did a pretty effective job in leading.
You didn't have to agree with their policies, but they were leaders. They were strong leaders.
That's right. But then I don't mean to diminish your idea on Trump being a senator. I think he would have thrived in that position personally, but I disagree with the idea, the concept of him running as senator, because at his core, he is basically a dishonest, evil man who has succumbed to degeneracy and who has done everything in his whole life to hurt other people to satisfy himself. To say that he is a sadist might be too extreme, but there's something in this man. He is an evil man, and people can debate that all day long. I don't care. I mean, I just said it, and that's what I believe. But if you look at his actions, they are evil actions against women, against children, against blacks, against Jews. You name a group. You can't leave out any group that might be a group that has troubles or this or that or the other thing. Look what he's been doing with the flu situation. Somehow somebody got heard Obama supposedly was making a speech, a private speech, say, a couple of months ago or something like that. And he basically said he was really pissed off at Trump, basically making this flu thing an Asian problem, basically being anti-Asian. I mean, if this man doesn't lose the election, the world will probably come to the end, because he has basically vilified every possible group that could help him. And not only that, but his group, whatever they'd call them in the South, the guys who are big and fat and ride motorcycles and yell and scream at everybody, he's killing them with the virus. So he's basically being very effective in defeating himself.
Now, let's take we've got about 10-12 minutes left. For the people that are listening, explain why the coronavirus itself, its effect on the market. Now, I know the market goes way down, and people that can afford to will buy stock because they know it will come back up. I know how the stock market can get controlled, and I know how the stock market and the hedge fund people all work the market. But how does something like a pandemic affect the market differently than something like, let's say, a war let's just say natural disasters? What's the long-term effect, in your opinion, that the pandemic, when it finally does cease and all the dust has cleared, what's the damage you think that pandemic itself, not the people who are in the stock market, but the pandemic itself might cause to the stock market, let's say a year from now? I mean, where do you think the market will be a year from now?
Okay, let me quickly say something and then I'll get to that. It's pertinent to the market and the pandemic. If you look at a chart of the stock market and you see what it's done, the top was 29,000 in the Dow. It was already tottering. The pandemic came about. It went down to 18,000. Then it came back. In the process of its coming back, the Federal Reserve started throwing money at the economy, supporting bonds, and the Plunge Protection Group, which is a group that is run by the Treasury Department, Mnuchin. They started buying stocks. They started buying stocks. They started buying financial futures. Basically, they were supporting the market and moving it up to maintain confidence of people. In my opinion, they've created a delusion among stock market people. People in the street, traders who have their ear to the ground, know what's going on. They've been piling into stocks at appropriate times when they sense the Fed is going to come in and support it. Very important, the Plunge Protection Group, when it was formed in 1987, they're beholden to no one. You can't call them and say, what are you doing? You're buying and selling. But the government has been falsely supporting this market. Now let's get to what you mentioned, the pandemic and its effect on the market. Do you really believe that a guy who's been out of work for 50 weeks or 50 days with two kids or mortgages, all this kind of stuff, in other words, basically the group that makes up 70% of the buying power in the United States, do you really think when this thing finally settles out, if it settles out in our lifetime, that they're going to just jump back in, buy new cars, buy new this, buy houses? I'm talking Joe the plumber. I'm not talking about somebody with $2 or $3 million. Now, the $2 or $3 million guy, he makes the stock market hum, but he's got professionals helping him getting in and out. Joe the plumber doesn't. He's got to keep his money safe. And that's why when the pandemic is over, and God help us, it's over sooner than later, confidence is not going to come back. Because people distrust the federal government. They've been distrusting it month in and month out in terms of them having a solution to this problem. So I say the lack of confidence, like a mist, will prevail over the stock market once things start settling down and the worst comes out and so forth and so on.
All right, and I have one question because it was an official launch, I think it was yesterday, and this is according to Reuters, because as we alluded to last week and have been alluding to, there are a number of people playing around in the stock market because, you know, they're totally bored and sports betting is, there are a lot of people playing. And I want to know how this applies, because the Fed officially launched, what is it, a $500 billion primary market corporate credit facility to buy corporate bonds directly from companies. So that sounds like happily more morally hazardous. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think morally hazardous is a very appropriate term.
But most people don't know what that means.
Excuse me?
I said many people don't know what that means.
Well, what it means is when the Federal Reserve needs cash and they can't sell bonds anymore because investors say, hey, wait a minute, the government doesn't know how to run itself, they have to start selling assets. And so when the Fed comes back in and sells assets, because it can't hold all these things to maturity, then the market will crater. That's going to be the same situation with stocks. The risk now is that the Fed will eventually have to sell those stocks. When? I don't know, but it'll probably be a very inappropriate time when money is getting tighter and they need the money to fund the government. A little corollary. Just picture this in your mind as you go, if you bother to think about the stock market. Why is it the stock market was down 700 points on Friday? And then magically it's up 400 points on Monday? That has got to tell you something, folks. Something is wrong with this market, all right? It's a market of psychology. There is an underlying negative psychology on the market, but it's overcome periodically by people who can move money around, and they sense, as I said earlier, the Fed is supporting the market. You'll notice when it takes a couple of big dips, all of a sudden it's righted. It's not righted on any news. It's not righted on business getting better. It's righted on somebody in there manipulating the market.
Jim has Jill had a great term she gave to me. The market is an emotional herd.
Jill, what do you say for yourself?
She took her headphones off and came in here.
Chicken.
I'm taking her word on that.
I'm sorry. It's my fault because I was listening to Marshall's question, and I thought that one of the cleverest thing that happened, and this was probably before the flash crash in 1987. All right, but what has been happening, especially with the televising of markets and the whole Roger Ailes, let's have a halftime show thing. The market, in quotes, became a thing, right? The market became an entity. And so what I was trying to write on this note is the market, in quotes, it's like the market is no such thing. The market is an emotional herd. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. It's just like this emotional herd has been named. It's called the market, and therefore it has been conferred with a structure. And
it's like a life. It's been confirmed to have a life of its own.
Right, and, but it really
and of doesn't. Course it doesn't, because it's controlled. It's controlled by people who have folks
who know how to do it, and they have
controlled by it's controlled by the one percenters. Exactly. It's just, you know, and that's why we are controlled by the one percenters.
And here's another one.
And that's not going to change unless all hell breaks loose and we burn down the government.
And please don't take him literally, but or do. But anyway, do it through the ballot box, please. Right after the Reuters report about the Fed officially launching its $500 billion primary market corporate credit facility, Jim, here's a good one. This should move, quote, the market. Joe Biden said during a fundraiser that if elected, he planned to get rid of the bulk of Trump's $2 trillion tax cut and raise the corporate tax rate to 28% in order to raise an estimated $1.3 trillion over the next decade. So we'll see how that flies in the next few weeks. It's got nothing to do with the actual election. It's just got to do with, quote, the market, unquote.
But, Jim, you know, and as someone who's dealt in the market for a long time, the market and the people that run the market, somebody like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren will never be allowed to become president. It just won't happen because the market is not really the market, but it is – It's so international now at the global economy, and I think you're right about putting. We only have about 4 minutes left, but worrying about where this market is going over the course of the next year or so.
Answering more of your question, which I don't think I fully answered, in terms of these other crises like 9/11. 9/11, as you well said. George Bush, he got on the pile down there at the Trade Center and said, you know, we're in this together. Let's go. Let's get going. And the mayor of the city and all of the people in the city and outside of the city kind of came together in a common purpose. And so there was an injection of true hope and confidence in the market. In other words, at that moment in time, and from thereafter until we really got screwed up in Afghanistan, the people trusted. And that's one thing, and that's why the market eventually came back pretty quickly. In 1987, when the Plunge Protection Group was formed, we had a real cause for why that market went down, and that was there was a thing called portfolio insurance where these big hedge funds and so forth would buy this insurance and they'd buy stock as well, and the insurance supposedly would offset any losses. Well, that was dead wrong. It was ill-conceived, and the portfolio insurance helped to make the market much worse. But it was a one-off. It was down, and that was it. The market is now dealing with this pandemic. Dollars will not solve the virus per se. Possibly that $500 billion we're putting into buying corporate bonds might be better off in the short to long term in putting all that money into finding the necessary ingredients to deal with the virus. This country, as you know, has been very delinquent in lacking the leadership of the world and taking care of itself in moving forward and solving this thing. It's utterly pathetic. But there you go. Two different markets, that whole thing is virus. The virus, as somebody said, it doesn't measure what state it's in, Delaware or New York. It's everywhere.
Well, as we wrap this up, I guess we have two entities that aren't really entities. One is, quote, the market, end quote, and the other one is the virus, quote, and end quote. And you put in emotion in there. That's exactly right. So you've got 1 minute now, Jim, to lead us into the future.
Well, as someone said to me yesterday, hey, you're having a great day. The sun is out there. And I said, yes, the sun is out every day in my life. And that's where we've got to go, folks. Life is for the living. Life is for the living. As tough as it is with this locked-in thing, and trust me, I feel it as much as any of you. Bright spots. My kids write more, and the other kid plays music more. Etc., etc. So keep close your family, your friends, put a smile on your face, and put a little extra energy in your step. We're going to be fine. We're going to get through this.
All right, Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right,
you got it. Talk to you. Bye.
Cover your assets with Jim Lynch here on Robinhood Radio. You can also hear him online, robinhoodradio.com, on demand. Cover your assets with Jim Lynch.